This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, thankfully, the last heatwave has abated. We've had a bit of rain and our gardens and parks are breathing a sigh of relief. But we'll need more rain than that to make up for the months of exceptionally dry weather that we've had. And the Met Office long-range forecast tells of another heatwave on its way in August. Parched, crispy gardens are not so good for pollinators, and the brown and crispy look is also not so appealing for us either. And whilst it's tempting to reach for the hosepipe, we know that even without a hosepipe ban in Hertfordshire, all that water in our taps is needed for our internationally rare chalk stream rivers, which themselves are looking a little bit feeble at the moment. So what to do? How can we prepare our gardens for the next heatwave? How can we avoid using precious tap water? And how can we make sure that every drop of water that we use in our gardens or outdoor space is not wasted? So I thought it'd be good to hear from an expert. Yes, an expert in watering gardens. So last week I spoke to Janet Manning, Water Reduction Officer at the Royal Horticultural Society. I started by asking Janet why a gardening charity had felt it important to have someone whose job it was to encourage us to use less water.
So we know that gardens use water, and we know that during dry weather like this, then we're going to use quite a bit. But there are great benefits to gardening. So we need to find ways that we can work around having the right amount of water available at the right time. I'm a great advocate for using rainwater, and unfortunately, we haven't had very much of that lately either. So we just need to find lots of different ways to change the way we garden.
Yes, indeed. And the RHS has a campaign, Mains to Rains, obviously agrees with you that really we should be using rainwater instead of mains water.
Yes, absolutely. Rainwater does tend to fall out of the sky for free fairly frequently, although we're in a really dry spell at the moment. Personally, I have 11 water butts at home on my garden, on every corner of the house and doubled up in quite a few places. I still haven't run out yet. It's getting a little bit close, but even those just short showers that we have had, it's surprising how much you can collect when you really think about it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's something for us to work on in the future if we don't have our own water butts. So you've got a tip for us, even before we start thinking about watering, we can reduce the need for watering using shade. Now, you know, obviously things like trees give shade, but we can make our own shade as well. Can you give us a few tips on how we can use shade to reduce the need for watering?
There's lots of ways to do it. I mean, you can immediately shade the root zone by using a mulch. So use a chunky sort of mulch so that if we do get any rain, it will go straight through to the root zone and it will drain really well. I've found sheep's wool actually is really good because it's not only a really good insulator, but it's white, so it reflects the heat of the sun. Another thing I have done is use some of my woody prunings to actually make a really sort of small woven edge to my borders. And that not only sort of saves my husband from strimming the edge of my borders, but it also means that the root zone is shaded a little bit from the hot sun. Again, anything you can do to keep the temperature of the soil down a bit really helps. One thing I have noticed, there seems to be a bit of a trend for metal containers. They heat up terribly, and that's not great for your roots. You really want your roots to stay cool because they need oxygen. And when you warm everything up, the respiration rates of all the bacteria in the soil increases, and then your oxygen depletes much more quickly. So then when you go and saturate one of those containers that's really warm, you're more likely to end up with a waterlogged container that's going to just suffer from the lack of oxygen in the root zone. So if you've got metal containers, pop them in the shade, keep them for the shady corners of the house, and use things like terracotta where the sun is still shining brightly. And even your patio sunshade, if it's still movable, why not just leave it up and leave it over some very precious plants, and it will reduce your water use.
And how about if we've got something that's particularly vulnerable, like a beautiful hydrangea? They're in flower at the moment, looking a bit droopy. Is there anything we can do there?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I've literally just this morning found a piece of blackout curtain lining, gone out and just thrown it over the top of it to give it some shade. Hydrangeas just don't seem to be able to get the water up from the roots to their leaves fast enough. They usually recover in the evening, but I'm just turning the heat down for them a little bit to just take the heat off of them by giving them some shade directly.
Now, there's some great tactics there for trying to reduce the amount of watering that we do, but some plants are going to need water. What should we focus on? Are there things that literally we cannot do? Can we keep whole beds of flowers going, or how about lawns? Or what should we save our precious water for?
Well, I think the first thing that I would stop watering is certainly the lawn. So if you have a lawn that really doesn't come back after a dry spell like this, then the chances are it's your soil that's not in great condition, and it's probably best time to actually think about that and replace it anyway. The soil needs to have aeration, so when we walk on our lawns, we compact all the soil, and that stops the rain from getting down into the deeper layers. It also stops the oxygen for the roots as well, so you need deep roots really to be able to get the lawn to survive for a long time through a dry spell. It's just something that the grass does. It sacrifices its top growth in order to save its roots. So even though it might look brown on the top, the chances are that the roots are still alive. And as soon as the rain comes, it will come back green again. If it doesn't, there is a problem with your soil, and that is what needs to be remedied. So pouring mains water onto lawns is the first thing that I would stop. And I haven't done it for very many years.
And how about those whole flower beds? Are we wasting time there?
It depends how established they are. So if you've got mature, established plants and you are irrigating, or you've got an irrigation system on them, the chances are all you're doing is encouraging that surface rooting. It may be a little bit late to stop immediately because all your roots will be at the surface of the soil. But you need to think very carefully that when we do have some rain, just switch the irrigation off, give everything a chance to actually look for the water that's deeper in the soil. Established plants really shouldn't need watering. And if they do, then again, there's a problem with the soil. You know, it's not aerated deeply enough for the water to reach into the deeper layers.
Okay. And how about something that's newly planted, like a tree that we planted, for instance, during the winter?
Newly established plants, and especially trees. If you've got a tree that you've planted in the winter, then it may well need some water. But don't water it every day, because that will, again, just encourage surface rooting. Give it a really good soak once a week, and that water will drive itself down into the deeper layers of soil. And hopefully the tree will then put roots down in to find that deeper moisture. The more we can keep the surface of our soils drier in this weather, the better it is, really, because that's where the moisture evaporates from. If you can just water on one spot very deeply, there's a better chance that the water is more efficiently used.
Okay, so with that in mind, could you give us some tips for good techniques for watering specific plants?
Definitely head for the roots. I've given up with sprinklers a long time ago. Watering the leaves really does nothing for them. So direct the water immediately into the roots. I rarely use a rose on a watering can as well, actually, because I don't want to spread that water all over the surface of the soil. I just want to get it into the root ball and know that it's there. Probably in Hertfordshire, you've got fairly chalky soil, so the chances are that the water disappears quite quickly and drains well and deeply. So you don't need to keep pouring more on just because it's disappearing. Actually, that chalky soil, it just allows the water to drain very deeply. So if you've chosen the right plants, so things like salvias, they love a chalky, deep draining soil, and they will grow really, really deep roots to find the water that's heading downwards into the chalk. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. And how about for watering plants that we've got in containers? Because there's a bit different on watering them, isn't it?
Yeah. So I always liken containers to a bit like a caged bird. You're responsible for all of its upkeep and you have to look after it. I always use a saucer. So if you have a saucer under your pot and you water your plant, and you water till the saucer is full and then stop. Give it a few moments, go back in a little while, and if the water has all disappeared, you know that that's all been sucked back up into the root ball and you can give it some more. If there's water still in the saucer, especially on a hot day like this, that's enough.
Right, well, I've got some plants in containers, so I'll bear that in mind. And how about, I suppose particularly for those plants in containers, we've got to give them water, haven't we? But like you say, it hasn't rained for a while, so our water butts are empty. Can we still give them our limey alkaline tap water, or is it better not to water them? It's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it?
Any water is better than none at all. But yes, you are right that the chalk and the high pH water that you have in that area of England is not preferable for the plants, especially if you're growing ericaceous plants. They much prefer low pH water. Rainwater that's been collected doesn't have any of those chemicals in it. And so the pH and the root zone of the plants will quickly adjust with rainwater, but they don't particularly like the chalky tap water that you have in that area. I think you can quite easily use tap water without any chemicals in it from grey water places. So, for example, my kitchen sink always has a little bowl in it at the moment, because it's surprising how many little dribbles, just, you know, my kids will come along, they'll just empty a little bit of a glass of water down the sink and get a fresh one that goes in the bowl. You rinse your hands, you rinse the dishcloth. It's surprising how much water you can actually collect without any detergent or soap in it. And all of that gets then reused on the garden.
Now, you mentioned the detergent or soap. Should we avoid using grey water that has got those chemicals added to it?
The thing that the plant roots don't like is usually the sodium in the salt. So a lot of soaps and detergents are based on sodium salts, and it's the sodium they don't like. I have recently actually found a hand wash soap, which is based on potassium salts instead, and that's a plant nutrient. So I'm going to give that a try, because actually, you know, in theory, the plant should like that. The other thing that I tend to do is, if you do have some soapier water, I tend to start using that well before my water butts have run out, and then alternate between the two, so that, you know, they get grey water one day and rainwater the next time I water them, so they get a bit of a rest. But yes, there's a lot of grey water that comes out at the wrong temperature as well, like running the shower. You know, I cannot do cold showers, I'm afraid. So the first bit of water that comes from the shower goes in a bucket, then I get in the shower.
That's a good plan. And it sounds like if it's the salt, she might be a problem, even if you were using an ecological product.
Possibly, yeah. We have done some research in the RHS on using grey water, and plants are actually fairly robust. It's just if you consistently give them lots and lots of grey water with lots of soap. So use the minimum you can get away with. Just let the first bit of rinse from your shampoo go down the drain, and then collect the rest of the rinsings when there's a little bit less of it. But yeah, it's surprising how tolerant many plants will be.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have any special rules for edible crops? Are we okay using grey water on them?
I think you have to be a little bit sensible. Anything that gets cooked is obviously going to be slightly better. But if you're using salads and you're not going to cook things, then you need to be careful. Like I just said, you know, there's a lot of grey water that actually doesn't have any contamination in it at all. The water that's just the wrong temperature, I would certainly use that on my salads and still eat them. But, you know, if you've been using meat and washing a chopping board with, then that goes straight down the sink. I wouldn't even touch that and put that on my garden.
Perfect. And it does mean that we can give our plants a little bit of a boost without having to use precious resources when our water butts are giving way. Okay, so looking forward, I wondered about changes that we can make in our gardens. If we're looking out and thinking, oh, my garden looks absolutely dreadful, and what with all this climate change, it's only going to get worse. It sounds like soil is important, but what other things can we do to make our gardens resilient in a changing climate?
I think it really needs us to think about how we manage our rainwater. The more people that have water butts and rain gardens, so rain gardens are the next step on, there's no reason why we can't expect our soils to perform well and collect rainwater like they do in the winter. And as long as that soil has got somewhere to drain to, so that the water keeps moving through the root zone.
So a rainwater garden would be one where the water from our roof comes down into our garden rather than going into the, I suppose, into the sewage system around here.
Absolutely, yeah. So if you're on a combined sewage system, then you need to check whether your downpipes are actually delivering that rainwater into the sewer system or going to a storm sewer. Either way, it would make sense to actually take some of that for your garden anytime. And if you've got that deeply draining soil in your garden, then it's ideal for collecting the rain off of the roof and adding it to your garden. When you have a really short shower in the summer, chances are the rain won't even reach further than your garden. And then in the winter, as long as there is somewhere for that water to drain from your garden and reach a drainage system somewhere, then all you're doing is holding back the peak flow. So taking that peak flow of rainwater from the roof and then releasing it slowly as the water drains through the soil. So the soil becomes your sponge and holds onto that rainwater in a much better way. It means everybody benefits, you know, not only your garden, but actually your neighbours benefit from the reduced risk of flooding. There's so many benefits to gardeners using the rainwater rather than anybody else.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great tip and certainly something for us to think about for those winter months when there's rain to spare. For the moment, well, I'll be saving all that grey water. Janet, thank you so much for giving us all those really helpful hints today.
I was talking there to Janet Manning, Water Reduction Officer at the Royal Horticultural Society. And if, like me, you're intrigued by the idea of a rain garden or other long-term changes that we can make in our gardens to make them more resilient against an increasingly unforgiving climate, Janet has promised to come back and join us again on Environment Matters during the winter to tell us more. Now, Janet explained how trees that were planted last winter or the winter before will still not have had the time for their roots to grow down deep enough into the soil where they can find water to keep them going in dry spells. And that goes for any trees planted in road verges near you too. So councils are asking, please, if you can save up a bucket full of bath water or washing up water for a verge tree just once a week, it will return the favour with shade, cleaner air and the twitter of birds for you in years to come. So have you got any garden water saving tips that you can share? You can get in touch with me via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.